So as John says, this morning we're beginning a new series called Baptist Basics. And we're going to be exploring a little bit about what Baptists believe, what and why we do things, and some of our traditions and core values. And hopefully, in addition to John, you will also find it interesting, and hopefully also find it encouraging and even uplifting in lifting out your faith. And as has already been said, I don't think it's ever more important that we Christians live out our faith in these very troubled times that we're living in at the moment. Now, this series is based on a number of leaflets written by Nigel Wright, who spent a number of years as principal at Spurgeon's College. The series is going to run for six of the next seven Sundays. The one in the middle will be Remembrance Sunday. And once we finish this series, we are, of course, into Advent. So the six topics that we're going to be looking at from this series, it's not the whole series, just these six topics, is obviously today is what does it mean to be Baptist? Next week, Gail Richards, our regional minister, is going to be talking about the significance of believers' baptism. Then our good friend David Instone Brewer will be joining us to talk about the congregation, every member ministry, which is looking at the part that the whole congregation plays in fulfilling God's purpose. Then Wayne will be talking about the significance of sharing the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. And another visiting preacher, Matt Rowe, who's from Arbury Road Baptist Church, will be speaking about the importance of being a member, of belonging to a church. And then it's me again. Stewardship, our responsibility to be good stewards of all that God has entrusted us with. So when you look at that list, you probably say, oh, there's some very wise and insightful speakers there, and then you've got me bookending the whole thing. Now, to a certain extent, my talk this morning is a bit of an introduction, an overview, if you like, because a number of the topics that I will mention will be talked about in a little bit more detail throughout the series. But to begin this morning, I'd like you to imagine two people out for a walk, walking their dogs on a Sunday morning, and they stop for a chat. One is a member of this church. You don't have to think who it is. It's just an abstract member of this church. And their congregation, their sort of conversation might go something like this. So what are you doing today? I'm going to church. What, the big church on the main road? No, the Baptist church on the high street. Oh, I know. The one that's had building work done recently. Yeah, that's the one. You know, I've always wondered, what's the difference between you lot at the Baptist church and those people who worship at the big church on the main road? Oh, look, dog's getting a bit impatient. Must move on. Come on, Leviticus. What is the difference between us lot and the people who worship at the big church? Or indeed, the difference between Baptists and any of the other Christian denominations? Now, perhaps the easiest way to deal with that question would be to have Paul Hills in your contacts on your phone, and you can just ring him up and say, Paul, tricky question, please can you talk to this person? But we have to remember that we had a verse of the year a few years ago from 1 Peter 3:15, which said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you the reason for the hope that you have. We have a responsibility to answer that question. So we should be prepared and ready to give our own answer, not just ring Paul. But that question that was put by this walker was about differences. Of course, it's important to emphasize that there is so much that Baptists actually have in common with other Christian denominations. But in terms of answering that question about differences properly, you would actually need to have a fairly deep understanding of the other denominations' practices. What the what, why, and how questions that they have. Because the risk is you start speaking about potential differences that we may actually not be very sure about. So maybe the most appropriate response to that question, what's the difference, is simply to set out what you, what we as a Baptist church family believe and hold true. Now you might think, does it matter what the differences are anyway? And at one level it probably doesn't or shouldn't. What's important is that as Christians we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. That we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth and the life. That we believe that salvation and eternal life will be freely given by a loving and gracious God. That we believe and trust in an all-powerful God who will answer our prayers. Core beliefs that enable us to stand alongside our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. But on another level, a practical level, the differences that exist between denominations do matter. As Nigel Wright actually wrote, the differences between Baptists and other types of Christians are almost all to do with the ways that we go about doing and being church. So is there one thing that sets Baptists apart from other Christian denominations? Well, I would say no, not really. It's not a single belief or practice that sets Baptists apart from other Christian denominations, but it's a combination. In one of the articles I read in preparing for this morning, it referred to this combination of beliefs and practices being akin to a Baptist recipe. And like most recipes, none of the ingredients are unique to Baptists, but the total mix is distinctively Baptist. Other Christian denominations don't have exactly the same combination of beliefs and practices as Baptists do. This article then went on to say, and I quote, "Baptists come in a variety of flavours. They hold different interpretations and views on some issues. But all Baptists have the same basic ingredients. Leave out a key ingredient of the Baptist recipe and you do not get a Baptist." So what are these key ingredients? Well, a significant ingredient is the belief in religious freedom. Indeed, Baptists talk about being a free church. In Galatians 5 verse 1 it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Now these words were spoken by the Apostle Paul to a group of Christians who were facing pressure from religious leaders, telling them that they were not proper Christians unless they submitted to specific rules. Paul was telling these people that they were acceptable to God simply by means of their faith in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who, by his death on the cross, sets us free from our sins. It is Jesus Christ who sets us free to love one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus Christ who sets us free from the fear of death through the promise of eternal life. We are set free. And when Baptists refer to being a free church, it's really about the way that we do church. When we come together to worship and for other gatherings, we do so as people who have freely chosen to do so because of Jesus Christ. We are not required by any law to worship. Or importantly, we are not required to worship in any particular way. We are free to choose. And given Baptists have this belief in religious freedom, it must also follow that we believe that states and governments shouldn't interfere with people's religious convictions. They shouldn't dictate what religious beliefs their citizens should or shouldn't have. Instead, Baptists believe that the state's role should be to protect religious freedoms and to ensure that nobody is persecuted or discriminated against on the grounds of their convictions. And just a few weeks ago, you'll remember that Johnny Payne from Release International spoke eloquently about the persecuted church. As Baptists, we remain committed to fight against such persecution. And it is freedom that underpins Baptists' conviction in believers' baptism, believing that it is not for the church or anyone else to impose the Christian faith on anyone. And so believing that only those who are able to freely choose and confess Christ for themselves are baptized. Which is, of course, why Baptists do not baptize babies and young children. Now, Gail will be speaking more about believers' baptism next Sunday. But of course, we welcome babies and children with open arms, and we delight in their being part of our church family. We delight in playing our part in nurturing them in their faith, in the hope that one day they will make a free choice for themselves to follow Jesus. Now, you may remember a few weeks ago, Paul Hill spoke about the first English-speaking Baptist church being founded in 1609 in Amsterdam by a former clergyman called John Smith. He'd gone to Amsterdam with a number of other English Christians who'd been facing persecution and oppression from the state church. Their belief, their conviction, was that they should be free to govern their own affairs under the lordship of Jesus Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Which leads us to another Baptist ingredient, the importance of the church members meeting in the governance of each individual church. Reminded, of course, of the words in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." For Baptists, it is the church members who meet in the presence of Jesus to consider the life and the work of the church, to appoint ministers, elders, deacons, to agree financial policy and mission strategies. Individual churches are independent, self-governing, and self-supporting. Every church member has a role to play, and that's an important aspect of being a member of this church. And it can be different, of course, as many of you will know, in other denominations. Just last week, I was talking to a friend who's on the PCC, the Church Council of an Anglican Church, and she was sharing how it is the PCC, a group of 10 people, that will make many of the key decisions of that church without recourse to the wider church family, including the fact that they might split from the Anglican Church. She was also sharing how the minister can make decisions against the wishes of the PCC because of the hierarchical structure that they operate under. Whereas for Baptists, the church meeting demonstrates the importance of talking and listening to God and to each other, as together we seek to discern and carry out the will of God. And the decisions made by an individual Baptist church, by our church, are owned by the church. They're owned by us. Now that places quite a significant responsibility on both the individual and the collective membership. It's a responsibility that we need to embrace. But it's also an immense privilege. The opportunity to be an active part of the discernment and decision-making process. Now, as I've mentioned, David Instone Brewer and Matt Rowe are both going to be considering elements of membership and members' meetings in the coming weeks. And for Baptists, I guess the way of being church is very much that of being a community, a family, if you like. We talk about the church family. And in the Baptist family, everybody is equal because everyone has a part to play in serving God. There's no hierarchy of bishops and priests exercising authority over church members. There's no ordained minister who holds any sort of privileged position. Now, a phrase that I've used many times over the years with various groups, and indeed I used at the church meeting just a couple of weeks ago. Everyone is equally important. We just do different things. People who are on welcome duty are equally as important as the preacher. Get the welcome wrong, and folk may not even cross the threshold to hear what the preacher might have to say. The person in charge of the heating is equally as important as the pianist, despite being mother and son. If people are freezing cold, they won't be paying attention to the music. And so it goes on. But equality of status doesn't mean everyone has the same role. As I've already said, each local church calls and appoints its own ministers, its elders, its deacons, and its other leaders. And each one of us, in turn, is called to exercise our gifts to God's greater glory, as we're clearly reminded to do by the words in Romans 12, in 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Or given what's been going on this weekend, if it is painting, then paint. In a Baptist church, everyone is equally important. But as a Baptist church, we don't function in complete isolation. Baptists also recognize the value of associating with other congregations for the common good. Baptist churches are not just independent, but also interdependent. We're part of a worldwide Baptist family. Over 100 million of us, apparently, worldwide. The second largest Protestant Christian denomination in the world. We're part of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, which is not a central authority, but is actually a central resource. We're a member of the Eastern Baptist Association. We have close links with many Baptist churches. Interdependent as well as independent. For the richness of God. Now, having mentioned the Baptist Union, it's perhaps worth remembering ourselves, or reminding ourselves of what is written in this church's constitution. I'm sure that it isn't just John who reads and understands the church constitution. You all read it regularly. But that the Baptist Union principle is embodied in our constitution that we buy into. And it actually summarizes these Baptist ingredients. So as a member of the Baptist Union, this church subscribes to the Union's Declaration of Principle. First of all, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, manifest in the flesh, God manifest in the flesh, is the sole and absolute authority in all matters pertaining to faith and practice as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And that each church has liberty, freedom, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to interpret and administer his laws. It's clearly stating there that the Bible is the sole written authority of faith and practice. It's also clearly stating that there is the freedom to interpret God's word as led by the Holy Spirit. And the second one says that Christian baptism is the immersion in water into the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost of those who have professed repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again on the third day. Emphasizing believers' baptism. And the third paragraph, that it is the duty of every disciple to bear personal witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to take part in the evangelization of the world. Which leads on to the final ingredient. In his writings, Nigel Wright talks about sharing the faith and Baptists being committed to sharing that faith by their words and actions, bearing witness to the truth of Jesus. And it is through that sharing of faith that Baptists have drawn together people from so many backgrounds to individual churches that have then become their free choice of spiritual home. Now, when I look at you lovely people this morning, what I see is what I was going to describe as a wonderful motley crew. And then I looked up the term motley crew, which could be used to describe an assorted and ill-disciplined group of ne'er-do-wells. That's not what I mean. That's not the right expression. What I mean is that when I look out at all of you lovely people, what I see is a diverse, mixed, assorted group of people of different ages, with varied backgrounds, different political beliefs, different interests and hobbies, different senses of humours, different skills, different jobs. What you might say is a wonderful smorgasbord of Christians. And sometimes I wonder, and certainly in preparing for this, I wonder with some of you, how did you end up here? How did you end up worshipping at Bluntisham Baptist Church? Some of you, Baptist born and bred. Others of you I know have come on a more convoluted journey, sometimes involving more than one other different denomination. But that in itself brings richness to the Baptist tradition, a richness to the life of this church, as it has done over the past few hundred years. So where are you? Are you a Christian who happens to worship in a Baptist church? Are you a Christian who believes in most of the things that Baptists believe and that you feel comfortable in being part of the church family here? Or are you a fully fledged Baptist, if there is such a thing, committed to all things Baptist? Maybe some of those questions are worthy of personal reflection or even discussion. But whatever you are, however you got here, you are most welcome here. We are delighted that you choose to be part of our church family, even if that's only for today because you're a visitor. But we hope and pray that you will all continue to be part of our diverse, Christ-centered family as we all continue on our journey to fulfill our stated mission. Now, alongside reading the church constitution on a regular basis, I'm sure many of you keep popping across to the website to read that. On the home page of our website, it says this: Bluntisham Baptist Church is formed by all kinds of different people who, in a spirit of friendship and love, seek to follow the example of Jesus. We are committed to honouring God in all we do and want to build a united, inclusive, loving community where everyone can find a place to belong and be inspired to use their gifts to serve God by serving each other, our community, and those in need. And I hope and pray that those words describe a church that you are glad to be or want to be an active part of. And to conclude, I'd like to share these words from Nigel Wright. To be a Baptist Christian is to belong to a movement with an honourable history, clear core convictions, a commitment to community, and an evangelical Christian faith that is profoundly committed to freedom. It is a movement with Christ at the centre, with mainstream Christian beliefs, but with a radical edge to its commitment. And let us rejoice in that. Amen.